Philippians chapter number 3, and we're going to deal with verse 12 today. That didn't sound right, did it? We're going to study in verse number 12 today. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture, but we need to read a few other verses that go along with this that we're going to take our time, though, and deal with these in weeks to come. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for your word and the freedom to publicly read your word here this morning. Lord, as we look to these verses, pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll do what I cannot, touch the hearts of the hearers here today. Pray your blessings on each and every one. For Jesus' sake, amen. I want to talk to you today about following Christ. And just as sort of a side note, as we begin all of this, this is most definitely a message to believers, to those who would consider themselves already followers of Christ. But if you're here today and you're not a believer, or you're not, you don't know if you're a believer, if you're wondering, am I a Christian? Am I saved? Have I been born again? Following Christ is very simple. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, you can read in the Gospels, he approached those, some fishermen, some tax collectors, all doing something else besides following Christ. And he said very simply, follow me. And when Jesus knocks on your heart's door and asks you to follow him, to do that, all you have to do is what they did. The fishermen left their nets and followed Jesus. The tax collectors left their booths and followed Jesus. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, you're not following Christ, follow Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. It's a wonderful day for you to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. But for those of you here who either will accept Christ today or who already have and are following Christ, I have a message for you from God's Word. In the middle of our text verse here today, verse number 12, Paul gives us his big idea for this in the next few verses. He says very simply, but I follow after. Let's read verse 12 again. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You see, in Christ, we learned from verse number 9 that we've been justified. Our righteousness is traded for his. We learned in verse number 10 that we've been sanctified, or we are being sanctified, being made more and more like him every day. And we learned from verse 11, last week, that we are glorified. We are as good as ready for heaven, or in heaven we will become glorified like Christ. Focusing on these truths can leave us feeling very satisfied with our current standing in Christ. And I hope it does for you. It is a wonderful thought to think that my place before Almighty God is one of being justified, sanctified, and glorified in Christ, his Son, whom he has accepted his ultimate sacrifice for my sins. That leaves me feeling very, very pleased in my standing. And I hope it does you as well. So Paul writes, though, that even here, even in this place of feeling comfortable where we are to continue to follow Christ. What do you know about the word follow? That's an action word, isn't it? You ever had to follow somebody driving? Have you ever had to follow me? Anybody ever had to follow me driving? It's bad enough if you have to ride with me. Hey, can I get Miss Wiggins can give you an amen there. She's had to ride with me before. I'm trying to think. I don't think any of the others have. Cullen, maybe. I don't know. Have you ever rode with me, Cullen? No? Good for you, man. All right, hey, listen, I'm called to preach, not to drive. If you can drive when you're with me, that's probably for your betterment. Also, not to sing. I might sing. I've got a song on my heart. I've been singing all morning. I might sing before it's all said and done, and I feel sorry for you guys to have to sit and hear me. But, I mean, worse than having to hear me sing and worse than having to ride with me, be have to follow me around. But there's some action involved in this, and I like to make good time. I don't like to stay behind slow people. And so I weave in and out of the lanes. We were coming from Kingsport yesterday, down 81, or 26 to 81 to 40. Those are your numbers you have to go down through. And all of those are busy highways. And my wife said, are you going the speed limit? And I said, don't you worry about it, honey. you just rest. You're not feeling well. You just rest over there. You watch the boys, and I'll do the driving. And she said, yeah, but I'll have to pay the ticket. And I said, well, probably so. But following after is an action. There's action involved in that. And while we want to become comfortable in our place in Christ, Paul kind of, he sets us up and then he knocks us down with verse 9, 10, 11, verse 12. He says, but keep going. First, I would say to you that following Christ means no satisfaction. He says, not as though I had already attained. Now, he just told us in verse 9, 10, 11 that we've already attained. He's already told us that had you died today, if this were the end of your life here on earth, you've already attained. You are justification, just as if I had never sinned. Glorification, as good as there, right? So he's already told us that. But then he stops and he says, but not in this life, as though I had already attained. While I'm satisfied with my standing in Christ, past, present, future, today I've got to operate as though I had not already attained. Paul was not going to allow himself to become satisfied with his own personal spiritual accomplishments. Have you ever done something for Christ and then sat back and said, man, look what I just did. God's blessed to have me. Now, surely you would never actually say this, but you'll have to admit, sometimes you do something and you think, I'm doing a good thing here. They're lucky to have me. You know, I'm a blessing to this world. Have any of you ever gone and fed homeless people? You ever done this? It's a rare rewarding ministry. I mean, the reward is right there. It's not a heavenly reward thing. There's some things we do that, you know, there's no reward on earth, and you'll get a heavenly reward for that. But when you go and help people who, at that point in time, can't help themselves, and they don't know where their next meal's coming from, and you scoop mashed potatoes and gravy on their plate, and they give you this great big grin, and they think, they look at you, and they say, thank you. It's very rewarding. And, I mean, that is the reward, I think. I don't know that there's any heavenly rewards for that. But if you're not careful, as you sit there, your chest and your head just swell, and you get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you think, well, I'm a great person. God is so blessed to have me to help these poor people. They really need my... You begin to feel really good about what it is you're doing. Paul's saying here, hey, I'm not going to allow myself to become satisfied with my own personal spiritual accomplishment. If anybody could sit back and relish... Where is Paul right now? Do you remember as we started the book? He's in prison. He's locked up. He's awaiting execution. As far as he knows, the end of his life is coming. If anybody could sit back and say, well, I've done enough. I've done this and this and this and this for the Lord. God's been good. God has used me. I have helped a lot of people. If anybody can, it's Paul, right? If anybody could before Paul, it was Jesus. As Jesus went to the garden and three times said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. If anybody had done enough for God already at some point in their life, it was Jesus. But each, Jesus continued toward the cross. Paul continued writing to these churches and fulfilling this part of his ministry. And Paul says to the church there, and in a sense to us now, don't become satisfied with your own personal spiritual accomplishments. Be satisfied with Jesus. There is some satisfaction. In verse number 10, he talks about how he longs to know him and to be like him. We can be satisfied with Jesus, but when measuring his life against Christ's, he's constantly reminded that there is more to be done. Warren Wiersbe has well said, a sanctified dissatisfaction is the first essential to progress in the Christian race. What do you do when you feel finished? I'm thinking here of Thanksgiving meal. Anybody here not have a large Thanksgiving meal? Do any of you just like have a salad on Thanksgiving? Okay, good. Because you wouldn't get what I'm talking about if you did. I didn't think anybody just had a salad on Thanksgiving, but that would just be wrong, wouldn't it? I think anybody who just has a salad, well, never mind. All right. Hey, I love salads. They're some of my favorite things. Go down to the Olive Garden, I can just eat that salad till I'm blue in the face. Sometimes I do eat it till I'm blue in the face. But I think of Thanksgiving meal. And I mean, here you've overcooked, right? Do y'all overcook? Not overcook the food, but cook too much food. That's what I'm saying here. And there's all of this stuff, and we're never going to eat it all. We're going to try really hard, though, right? And around our house, it's one of these, you know, we don't want to hurt the cook's feeling, you know, as if her feelings would be hurt. So we have to eat everything and eat as much of everything we can. And then there's this whole other table that has desserts. So you have one table with turkey and casserole and dressing, gravy, rolls. Why we need dressing and rolls, I don't know, but I love having both. And green beans and corn. Are y'all hungry? Did everybody have breakfast? We got coffee, and what do we have downstairs? We have cookies today. and some donut holes. So if you're hungry, go down to the fellowship hall after we're done here. We have some stuff for you. But here's this table with all this steaming food laid out. You know, there's not even enough room to sit around it because there's so much food on it. And then there's this dessert table with apple pie. We have a thing we call chocolate eclair. I don't know if y'all had that. Not the little eclairs, but this whole big pan of stuff called chocolate eclair. It's all the good stuff from the chocolate eclairs, all in one big pan just laid out there. It's wonderful. We have chocolate delight. Pecan pie. Sounds good. You ready to go eat, Brother Sam? Let's have Thanksgiving tomorrow. But listen, when I feel finished, and I probably should feel finished before I do at Thanksgiving. Come on, somebody say amen to me here. I'm feeling like the only overeater in the house. And surely I'm not. All right, good. But when I feel finished, you know what I decide to do? Sit back, relax, take a nap, and just wait till I'm empty enough again to go eat some more. If you're not careful, you can become just that satisfied in your Christian life that you do a little something for God, and you sit back, and you relax, and you feel satisfied with your Christian life, and you go and take a nap, spiritually speaking, until you're empty enough to do a little something more. It shouldn't be that way. There should be no satisfaction in the work of Christ. A man came out of his manager's office with a look of gloom on his face, enough to grab his secretary's attention. "You didn't get fired," she asked. He said, "No, it's not that bad. But he sure did lay into me about my sales record. I can't figure it out. For the past month, I've been bringing in plenty of orders. I thought he'd compliment me, but instead he told me to get with it." Later in the day, the secretary asked her boss about the man. The boss chuckled. "He's one of our best salesmen, and I'd hate to lose him. But he has a tendency to rest and be satisfied with his performance. If I didn't get him mad at me once a month, he'd never produce." It's physically illustrating where we should be spiritually. Don't allow yourself to feel like you have attained. If you look at me, compare your life against mine, you may say, "Oh, I have attained. I'm doing more than he is." If I look at you, I may feel just the same. But keeping our eyes upon Christ, we will always feel the dissatisfaction that it brings. As in earthly terms, we will never attain to the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So following Christ is a lifetime of work. Every day brings a little bit more that must be done. Now, there are two points of view with that. One is to become discouraged with the lack of never finishing. Don't be discouraged in Christ. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be discouraged with the lack of finishing. Rather, be encouraged with the daily workload and Christ's enabling us to do it. The only thing that's better than having something to do every day is being able to do that which you have to do every day. Daily, he loadeth us with his benefits. Didn't we read that just this morning? Every day, Christ will enable you to fulfill the purpose that he has before you. So following Christ first means no satisfaction. Secondly, following Christ means realizing purpose. What does Paul say? Notice the end of the verse. "Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." When did we talk about a person being apprehended? What kind of person are we talking about there? Yeah. You watch the news, and they'll tell you this horrible thing that has happened. You know, hide your kids, hide your wife. Right? All right, I got some laughs there. The young people thought that was funny. So the rest of you have no clue what I'm talking about there. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the laughs. But thankfully, at the end of this news broadcast, while we're all worried up, they'll say, "But the suspect has been apprehended." Oh, that always makes me feel better. You know, the circus comes to town. And no doubt while the circus is here, a bear gets loose or an elephant gets out from the circus. And they'll say, "Watch out. You know, it could be in your neighborhood." When I first moved here, I don't know, I guess it was 2011. Somebody sighted a bear around here somewhere. I mean, it was in the vicinity. Do y'all remember this? In the vicinity of my home, I believe. And I didn't think there were any bears around here, you know. I thought, well, at first I did. I said, "I like living up here with all you guys in the mountains." And you all corrected me and said, "This isn't the mountains. This is the hills." And I said, "Okay. Well, as long as I'm just living in the hills then, while I'll have to be a hillbilly." No. I won't have to worry about bears. But then there was a bear. But I was glad when I heard that they had apprehended this bear, they'd scared him away or something, and then they didn't have to worry about him anymore. So Paul talks about being apprehended here this morning. And then we don't want to make Paul out to be a criminal or a bear. Paul made himself out to be that. But he said that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended, so that I can lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ, that I may possess the perfection Christ intended when he possessed me. What Paul is saying here as he follows Christ is to daily realize his purpose. You see, Jesus didn't save us simply for the saving sake. He didn't just save you and I so that he could say he did. He didn't just come and live and die and resurrect and ascend so that he could say, look what I've done. No, he saved us with a purpose. He didn't save us because we're good. He didn't save us because we deserved it. He saved us with a purpose, and daily we are to realize this purpose and fulfill God's purposes in our lives. Romans 8 says this very perfectly, verse 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. Why did he save us, according to Romans 8? So that we could be justified, sanctified, glorified. Romans 2:10 says this even better. For we are his workmanship. What does Romans 2:8-9 say? Does anybody know besides Brother Sam? I've heard Brother Sam quote it 100 times. Anybody know how we start off there? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace, there you go, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And those are wonderful verses on salvation. But then come the verse on Christian living, which is verse 10 here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For you and I to live as if we have no purpose unto God is to say that God just saved us to save us and nothing else, and goes completely against Scripture. The Bible says that he has before what? Before ordained, but before what? What did he ordain us before? Before you were saved? Maybe. Before you were alive? The Bible also talks about before the foundations of the world. Sometime outside of time, because we understand that God is not within time, God ordained some purposes for your life. I hope that makes you feel special. It makes me feel special, and I hope it makes you feel special enough to get up in the morning and say, God, I'm special to you, and you have a special thing that you want me to do today, and here I go, and I'm going to do it the best I can. Realize your purpose. Following Christ means no satisfaction. Following Christ means realizing our purpose. No matter how seemingly big or small, live to fulfill God's purposes in your life. Years ago, the son of a wealthy American family graduated from Yale University. He decided to go out to China as a missionary for Jesus. His name was William Borden. Many of his friends thought him foolish to give up so much of this world's goods and his future to go there. But Borden loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wished to serve him. After only a short time on the field, that's just God saying amen to the sermon. See, he's liking this. After only a short time on the field and before he ever reached China, Borden contracted a fatal disease and died. He had given up everything to follow Jesus, but at his bedside, his friends found a note that he had written as he lay dying. It said this simply, "No reserve, no retreat, and no regrets." Borden had given up everything, but he had found a treasure that was beyond words. How are you living your life? Are you living it with a lot of reserve, a lot of retreat, and a lot of regrets? Are you living like this guy with no reserve, no retreat, no regrets? I began to question my own life there, and I said, well, hopefully, I don't know if I've got any regrets. Hopefully, I'll end my life and not have any regrets. I don't think I'm a person to retreat from the things of God. But then my heart was convicted as I began to think, I'm a person of reserve. I hold back. I save some up for tomorrow. Spiritually speaking, obviously we need to do that in the physical sense. But spiritually speaking, if God's mercies are renewed every morning, if daily He loads us with His benefits, why do we have to have reserve today? Live it all today. Give it all today. Following Christ means no satisfaction with what we have done. It means realizing our purposes today for what He would have us to do. Following Christ. We cannot be satisfied with what we achieve. Not as a church, not as an individual, not as a family. As a church, we must continue to follow Christ and move forward. We cannot be satisfied with personal accomplishments, but follow Christ, each one of us, until we finish our course. The Bible says, or Paul wrote, I have I fought a good fight, kept the faith, I finished my course. Until that day comes in your life, keep on following Christ. Keep on this course. Following Christ means realizing purpose. Not one life was created by God in vain. Do you believe that this morning? I really want you to question your hearts on this. Not one life was created by God in vain. Every single life was created by God with purpose. Before when? Before life. Maybe even before the foundations of the world. He knew you. The Bible says before He ever formed you in your mother's belly. And He formed you with a purpose, to do something for Him. We all have a purpose. Live each day as your last and do all you can for Christ. Let's stand this morning and have a moment of prayer. I appreciate you being here today. I appreciate you staying focused in spite of the thunder. Miss Wiggins is going to play us just a verse of a song and we'll pray together. If you're here today and you're not following Christ in the general sense, say, I'm not a follower of Christ. I would like to be. Come today. And let me show you in God's Word how to become a follower of Christ, how to be saved, how to be born again. But I assume most of you here today are believers. Are you following Christ in the specific sense? It's easy in our day-to-day life to say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. But more than those words should be some actions. Are you living that satisfied Christian life and just saying, you know what, God's good. I'm not really doing anything for Him, but He's good to me anyway, and that's that. Or are you daily realizing your purpose? God's put you right where you are on purpose. What you're going to get up and go do tomorrow, God has you there for a reason. And He wants you fulfilling that reason in your area. We all go out from this place and out from our homes tomorrow and fulfilled our purposes. The work of God will be done in a great way.